Chip and putt. Golf is so easy. Four? Okay, maybe the occasional wedge. Let's talk golf. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN Chicago. Presented by the Glenview Park Golf Club. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
YouTube.com/@ESPN1000Chicago. Tyler Rocky along with Mike Gilligan. We're on a little bit early today. Talking some golf with you until 10 a.m. We're in the thick of things now at the FedEx St. Jude as the final round gets going today. Hideki Matsuyama, you're by far and away leader right now. Five strokes ahead of the pace right now. It's 17 under, followed by Nick Dunlap, Victor Hovland, Scotty Scheffler, and Sam Burns in there as well at 10 under and a tie for fourth. So should be lots of fun. I guess everyone's playing for second right now at the St. Jude, it feels like. But who knows? Crazy things can always happen on the final days of these tournaments.
It sure looks that way right now with Hideki having quite the weekend. After started out a week for him, started off on the wrong foot out in London on his way back from the Olympics to come over and compete. And for those who don't know, Hideki, I believe it was on Sunday or Monday in London, was robbed. And actually, they were having dinner, as I understand it, at a restaurant in the airport. And his coach and caddy had their bags stolen while they were just sitting on the floor next to him. And when they took him, they took the caddy and the coach's passports along with all the other valuables and wallets and cash and all the whatnot. So those two had to go back to Japan. Fortunately for Hideki, he happened to have his bronze medal and his passport in the bag that was still on him. So he was able to come to the United States and still be in this event. Had they took that bag, he'd be back in Japan, and
who knows?
And who else would be leading right now? It may be a young man by the name of Nick Dunlap. But otherwise, Hideki is, in essence, playing with a new caddy and no coach. It's like, as he said, it's like he's gone back to his young days of just being him out on the tour. But he was able to secure a caddy, and I cannot remember the player's name who was outside the top 70, but he is using his caddy this week, and apparently it's not hurting him.
I mean, we may have a Wally Pipp situation brewing here.
I know. This is
on the bag.
You might be staying back in Japan, and this guy may be staying on the bag the rest of the way. But Hideki is such a great man, and he is our version of like a Scotty Scheffler or Tiger Woods to the Far East. You know, if Liv had to say, there is a guy that we really, really wanted to make this thing go, and everybody would have thought, oh, it's Rory. Oh, it's Tiger. This guy is somebody they have coveted and have wanted since day one. They have offered him truckfuls and busfuls of money, and he still won't come over. His draw and his following over in the Far East is unbelievable, and for a lot of people who don't know who Hideki Matsuyama is, you should get to know him. He simply is a big time event player, loves the majors, loves the difficult courses, and seems to excel there more than anywhere else whenever he plays.
The thing too, I think people really got the magnitude of how big golf was in Japan when he won the Masters. Once he won that Masters, you saw the impact that he has in that country for the sport as an ambassador for the game, and it really exploded his profile in America here even more. And he's one of those guys who he's hung around and he's won some things here and there on the tour and in the major scope as well. But this, I think, would really start to ante up the end of his season here on the FedEx Cup, because right now,
As of now, he's bumped up to third. And we've always kind of viewed him as like, oh, one of those top 10, 15 players in the world. But boy, if he can really get things going this week and next week and then head into Eastlake feeling really good about him and potentially maybe win it, like, that would be something.
Yeah, I mean, and to your point, you know, he won the Masters. So this guy knows how to close the deal, get it across the finish line. You know, and I think he's coming off of what I would say was a tremendously successful Olympics for him. And, you know, all the players who have fared well in the Olympics seem to be doing quite well this week, even if they didn't medal and they had a good, say, top five, top 10 moment over in Paris. So Hideki is following suit here. And right now it's his event to lose. And if he wins, this will be his 10th win in his career, which when you go to 9 to 10, that's a big deal. A lot of players say, well, you know, I didn't really know. I wasn't counting. Baloney. Baloney. You know when you're on 9 looking at double digits. That's a big monumental moment. And I think one when the folks look at whether or not you're Hall of Fame worthy, this guy is Hall of Fame worthy. I mean, he'll join his countryman, Jumbo Ozaki. He already has a far better record than Jumbo, and Hideki will be in the Hall of Fame at some time. But in the interim, he's still a very young guy, and he's got plenty of great, great golf to, you know, put on display for us in the years to come.
You want to talk FedEx Cup? You want to talk St. Jude's with us? 312-332-3776. And we will check in with Jake Marsh as well from Memphis. That's coming up at around 9:15. Local time here, so we'll check in with Jake as he's on the call for PGA Tour Live. But yeah, just looking at kind of the season that, I mean, right now, this is what your FedEx Cup standings look like. You've got Scotty 1, Xander 2, no surprises there. They've been on fire all season long. And with the way that things are so far, Hideki's at 3, Rory McIlroy at 4, Colin Morikawa 5, and then you get to your Wyndham Clarks, your Ludvig Obergs, Sahith Theegala, Patrick Cantlay, Sung Jae Im. It's been a pretty good year following this top 10. But once you get outside of that, it's a lot of you got to really squint, it feels like, to find the big names. You got Shane Lowry 11th, Nick Dunlap, who, like you mentioned, but he's a guy who's jumped up 55 spots in the last week. Akshay Bhatia, a young up-and-coming guy, Tony Finau, but then you've got Ben Ahn, Robert McIntyre, Sam Burt. It's like all of these lesser-known names, and like even a Victor Hovland, that's someone who you would have expected to be in this top 10 this year, and a lot of what he's doing, he's 20th right now. That's largely buoyed by what he's been doing so far this week, as he currently sits in third at the FedEx St. Jude's.
Well, if I said to you 1 year ago today that Victor Hovland's going to struggle mightily to even get into the top 70 or the top 50, you'd have looked at me, especially after what happened at Olympia Fields.
Right.
You would have said, are you out of your mind? I mean, we had him picked ready to win the Masters. At least I did.
Yeah, I was right there in lockstep with you.
And the young man has come down to earth. But, you know, this is a format that suits him well. And, you know, there's got to be some of that confidence. It's not like, you know, this is a weird season, an uncomfortable and unknown position for him to be in. He excelled and he owned this last year. So it wouldn't surprise me to see Victor, you know, turn it on a little bit and try to end this season on a much higher note than how the season started.
And he's had his moments. Like, I believe it was the Masters. After round one, he was flying. He was right at the top of the leaderboard.
Front nine.
And then punted it all the way on Friday. It's like he's had some of these moments throughout the course of the season that inspire some confidence here or there. He has some good showings here or there, but it feels like for some reason or another, he has not been able to put together four rounds this year.
No, and, you know, and it has been frustrating, Victor Hovland fans. And, you know, and it's funny, I had somebody this week ask me, what has happened to him this year? And somebody also then in the same breath, in the same conversation goes, yeah, it looks like he's a NASCAR driver now with all the logos on there. And I said, well, you know, that's what happens when you become, you know, good, popular, you know, in the public's eye, and all the marketers and sports marketing gurus and agents want you. Well, guess what? Your time is now being taken up by a lot more clients and a lot more needs and a lot more, you know, obligations. And I think it's a little bit of Victor just learning how to become that next level professional. I think he'll come back, you know, back to where we know he belongs. I think it's just all part of the growing pains for a young professional. But I know Victor also loves to have his good times, and I think he readily admits that he basically took the winter off because of the type of year he had, and with the Ryder Cup, you know, with the final cherry on top to one heck of a season. You know, he took time off, and I think the front part of the season showed it. I think he's now learning how to better manage his time, better manage his obligations, so that he can still put his practice time and preparation front and center.
This was him at his pre-tournament press conference talking about some of the changes that he made to his swing as well.
So I don't want to get like super technical with this, but basically I just, my pattern got off. The things that I did in my swing that made me good, that made me able to predict a certain ball flight, I went home and tried to do a certain move, not necessarily because I had in mind that I wanted to change my pattern. I knew my pattern was really good, but I was upset that I wasn't cutting the ball as much as I would have liked. My ball flight started to become a little bit of a draw, which is fine. I was still hitting it good, but sometimes visually I would have liked to have seen the cut. And then in the off season, I made a conscious effort to try to cut the ball more. And when I did that, I ruined a relationship that happens in my swing that makes it really difficult for me to control the face coming down. And so now it's just kind of me learning from that. I know exactly why it happened. I know exactly what happens because I've gotten myself measured. And now it's just kind of a process of getting back to where I was. But at least I know I have all the data and the facts on the table to go about it.
And it's so crazy to me, a guy who is on top of the world, and he just got into the overthinking lab, and you see he tries to change and get some more cut on his swing, and all of a sudden you got a guy who's now in danger of potentially missing after the BMWs, like, and getting into the Tour Championship, all because of some little tweaks here or there and just maybe over manipulating things.
Maybe. First off, when I'm listening to him talk, I keep saying to myself, why?
Right.
Why do you do that? You owned the PGA Tour last year, and then you decided to go in and fix something that wasn't broken. Now, I get it. These guys, I think there's this feeling that you cannot win unless you cut the ball. And I don't believe that. I think if you've got a soft pattern draw that he has, he proved it last year. Now, are there particular venues and holes and, you know, maybe events that favor more of a fader than a, you know, a drawer of the ball? Yeah, but I don't know. I think if you went back and asked him and said, look, you can try to work on this, but at the same risk, you're going to lose all of this. I don't know that you do that.
No.
You know, there's an old saying, you stick to the girl you brought to the dance. I mean, you know, until this particular way and style of playing lets you down in 2024, I wouldn't have changed a thing.
I'm with you. I don't understand. Listen, if his drop off this year was because, like you mentioned, the NASCAR driver, all these different patches on your shirts and hats now, and all of a sudden you're at this event and that event and have to do this sponsor dinner and this golf outing, like, okay, I get it. It took away from your practice time. I get that. But to try to overcorrect something that was already right, that was already good enough for you to win the FedEx Cup playoffs last year and go out and shoot records at Olympia Fields and have this dominant run in the month of August last year and some of the other big wins that he had last year as well, even though, I mean, we talked about him coming into this year as maybe the best player without a major, and a lot of it, I mean, the reason why is because, well, he's just so damn young at this point. For guys like Xander, it's like, well, what are you waiting for? But for a guy like him, it's like, oh, he's young. Give him a year. Like this kind of felt like his year where he would get that monkey off his back. It's been far from the case, but hey, who knows? Maybe he puts together a little bit of a run here and can shock the golf world again after he came away victorious. But it's going to be a very, very uphill battle for him to defend his title.
Oh, there's no question about that. You know, he tried to go in and tinker a little bit, and it got him into trouble. And it's interesting when he was talking about how he used that term, ruined mm-hmm. the relationship. That to me tells me he reached a point in all of this process where he felt completely lost. And that term ruined, not it affected it, it disturbed it, but it ruined it. So I think there has been quite a bit of frustration on his end trying to find it and to rediscover it. But I think he's starting to get it back. Now, whether or not he has it in earnest, it will all depend on the 5-6 inches between his ears, whether he firmly believes he has what he used to have, or is he just saying it to try to make everybody feel good at the press conference, including himself. But that is what we will see here pan out for the next couple of weeks. But, you know, if he at Olympia Fields, you know, had the lead after the first two rounds and then went south and then had a miserable time at East Lake and couldn't really get things moving at the Ryder Cup, I'd say, yeah, you better start going back to the laboratory and start reevaluating things. I would have just packed my bag up with a nice red bow on it and can't wait to open it up when I get back at this thing and just take, I mean, he's got such a great formula. But that's the interesting part about the mental makeup of these guys. They're never satisfied. They're always looking at one another like, ooh, he's got that little shot. Well, I now need that shot, or I need that pattern, or I need that ability to do what he was just able to do. Otherwise, I won't be able to win. And sometimes I think you just have to stay and remain comfortable in your own playing skin and just work with what you have and be happy that you have what you have.
I've got a question for you when we come back. Like, how much of this could involve Scottie Scheffler? I want to pick your brain on that when we come back. Talking golf with you, 312-332-3776. You want to talk Victor Hovland? You want to talk anything that you've seen at the FedEx St. Jude? Be our guest, 312-332-3776. The CDGA Golf Show will be right back.
More golf ahead. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
Segment brought to you by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our Chicagoland locations today. We're talking about Victor Hovland and the year that he's had. He's currently in third at the FedEx St. Jude Championship down in Memphis and has vaulted inside of the top 30 now, with thanks to what he's done so far. He entered the tournament sitting 57th, and that puts you, of course, in a very dangerous spot as you move on to the BMW Championships. Now, it shouldn't really be much of a problem for him to get there, but what comes next for Victor Hovland? Because this has been a really, really tough season, and it seems like he just kind of tried to overcorrect, to over-tinker with his game, a game that, at the end of last year, was as good as anybody on the tours, and it bared out by the way that he won the FedEx Cup last year and dominated at the BMWs and then just kept on following it up. And I look at what Victor Hovland, and I don't think he's alone in this, but is this the Scottie Scheffler effect? That Scottie, we're seeing him do things that we have not seen since Tiger Woods from a ball-striking perspective. Has he put a ridiculous amount of pressure on guys who, that even by the end of last year, were better than him? Has he found a way to put this type of pressure on the rest of the field just because of how dominant he's shown he can be?
In a short answer, yes. I mean, he is basically having an influence on these guys similar to what I saw when a young Tiger Woods broke onto the scene. The difference being Tiger came in and brought fitness and athleticism, if you will, into the game of golf, because up until that time, fitness didn't play much of a role. Strength and conditioning. In fact, there was a belief out there at the time that if you start working out for golf, it's going to be a bad thing. It's going to make you stiff. You're not going to be flexible. The strength isn't going to be a good thing. There used to be that belief out there, and nobody ever did lift weights and work out. I mean, you can look at the guys all had bellies back in the day, and, you know, it was just the way life was. But when Tiger came onto the scene, he brought a different discipline, a different methodology of practicing, a different mental makeup and approach, and an intimidation factor. I don't know that Jack Nicklaus carried the same intimidating means and ways about himself that the way Tiger did, all the way down to a red shirt. I mean,
right.
I mean, just that in itself, who would have ever thunk that just by wearing a specific color on a specific day, you're sending a statement, and one that is very, very powerful, and one that can also be taken as very, very intimidating. But Tiger brought all that, and Tiger brought a new way and an approach. He brought a team with him. He was among the first to really have the agents and the coaches and the fitness people. He was bringing the entourage, which now all the other players started to follow suit. So to answer your question, yes, Scotty is the next reiteration after what Tiger has done, and Scotty does it in another way. Tiger didn't really have a lot of areas to really improve his game. And think, in fact, I suggest that a lot of people were very confused by the fact that Tiger went ahead and changed his swing after winning major championships. Everyone thought he was absolutely nuts. So Scotty comes along and starts dominating in the way that he's doing it. Now, he may not be as diligent or as committed in the way Tiger is on certain aspects, but he certainly is in other aspects of his game. And I think all the players have started to take notice. Whenever the world's greatest walk onto the range, or they walk onto the practice green or the short game facility, everyone starts paying attention, because it's like, what does he have in that bag or under that glove or, you know, in that ball pocket that's giving him this new sense of confidence, success, or otherwise? And, you know, Victor had a brief spell with it. I mean, when you look at what Victor did in 2022, after he misses the cut at the U.S. Open, he ties for fourth at the Open. Then he goes, ties for seventh, ties for second, finishes 19th, finishes a tie for 13th in 2023, and then goes on that run like we talked about with the BMW. Unbelievable. But then he decides to tinker, and look what happened in 2024. A cut, but then he has an unbelievable Valhalla, but then he misses the cut. So is Victor searching for something that maybe he doesn't even need to search for, and it's all due in part because he's seeing his colleagues becoming better and maybe more efficient or winning events and majors more than he is? You betcha. And I think Scotty does that. And I think Xander's starting to have that same influence on some of the other players, because they're trying to figure out, well, then how did he figure it out? He went so long, and then all of a sudden he found it and he flipped it on. So, yeah I agree. I do. I do think that these bursts of success, and I mean ultra success in very short sample sizes, has caught the attention of a lot of people. Because in this day and age, when you get hot for that short a period with these purses the way they are, the amount of money you can make in a short period of time now, and then, I mean, it could be, you could almost make your career in a quarter of a year if you do it right. And Scotty's proving it.
Right. You look at the way that, and again, I think the elevated purses, like you just mentioned there, are a big, big part of it. The way that those have really changed. I mean, we've seen Scotty setting earnings records for a year in June. We saw before he left for Liv, John Rahm did the same thing. He was off to that hot start, and you saw the way that these purses have really changed. I mean, it's so much so that we talked about it last week. Like, Scotty's caddy would be 55th on the yes. earnings rankings
Isn't
right now.
Yes.
Like, a caddy.
That's yeah. And that's how much this thing has changed. And I'll go so far as to say this. If you think that watching today's event is going to be kind of, there's no drama. He's got a big five-shot lead. Why you want to watch this weekend more than any other is that the top 50 that get in after this is all said and done, they get automatic berths into all the signature events next year. And for some of these guys, that's a bigger deal than finishing in the top 30 and getting into the majors.
Right.
Because of the money, you can now build your schedule. If you get in, like a guy like Nick Dunlap, are you kidding me? If he gets into the top 50, this young man, 1 year ago today, was playing and winning the U.S. Amateur, and he could potentially, after today, have his schedule all nailed for next year, including the richest purses in the game of golf for a 20-year-old man. How about that? 20 years old, and your future now could be nothing but, you know, peaches and cream, butterfly yeah. and rainbows. So I'm keeping a strong watch on Nick Dunlap the rest of the way.
Yeah, I mean, that's a name to watch. There's a lot of drama to be had over the course of this final round today, because like you mentioned, you never know how these little twists and turns impact next year. And I think that's one of those things that kind of separates golf from all of these other sports, is that it's these little nuances where, all right, you finish top 50 here, you finish top 10 here, and it sets you up for next year, puts you in a really good jockeying spot, or even sometimes automatically qualifies you for life-changing financial opportunities for the next season, that you don't have to think about these certain things, especially now with some of these events where there are no cuts and stuff like that. Like, these are huge. These are really, really big. And it makes you don't have to worry about the financial side of your year to year, because listen, the thing that some people fail to recognize is that if you go to one of these events and you get cut, you lose money,
right?
It's not like in baseball where Dansby Swanson can go 0-for-4. Well, he still gets his game check.
That's right.
That's not how it works here. If you don't make a cut, you're walking away losing money.
Yeah, you're going to have expenses incurred to the tune of, you know, depending on where you like to stay, whether it's at a Red Roof or a, you know, or that the
these Airbnbs these days,
yeah. Or you're going to stay at a, you know, a Four Seasons. So it depends on how you want to travel and all the rest of it. So some of these guys will spend thousands and thousands, and if they miss the cut, those are expenses incurred. Where, like you said, Dansby Swanson, yeah, he's not paying for his travel, he's not paying for his food, he's getting his game check. And the other part of it is, and the other intangible, and again, a team sport versus an individual sport, yeah, individual sport, they'll have their little, you know, their posse, if you will, or their team, but the rest of the Cubs are there to help build him back up, pick him up when he's down, you know, encourage him. You're missing the cuts. It's a lonely life, especially if you're, well, Hideki's playing well. But in his case, if he wasn't playing well, his caddy and his coach are back over in Japan. And he doesn't even really speak our language all that much. That's a difficult thing to navigate day in and day out as an individual athlete trying to make it on the PGA Tour. So a guy like Nick Dunlap, this is absolutely career changing for him, because basically you leave, because his journey into professional golf after he declared himself a professional wasn't very good. In fact, it was terrible. But then he got hot on the second part of this summer, and as a result, got enough points just to barely get into the top 70, and now has a chance to write his ticket and basically put any self-doubt to bed on, do I belong here? Mm-hmm. Like, not only do you belong here, you're going to be here. And you know what? You're going to earn enough money that you're going to probably be able to retire at the end of next year and never have to play golf again. But you're going to because you enjoy the sport so well. And it's just amazing how life-changing this will be. But this 50-man cutoff is more than just trying to make it to the next stop. This has a huge, huge impact for these guys because of the signature events and because of the amount of money at these signature events. It's almost from, you know, planning out your career, this would almost be more important to me than playing in the four majors, is to play in these eight events and know that I'm in on every one of these. That's 8 weeks of big time money that you're guaranteed of making.
Yep. 312-332-3776. If you want to join us when we come back, let's get into the Scotty and Xander race for the player of the year, because there are always these different turns. And when you stack the resumes, I think it's really interesting as well. So we'll do that when we come back. If you've got a thought on that, 312-332-3776. The segment brought to you by PGA Tour Superstore.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. From PGA to where you should play, this is the CDGA Golf Show with Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Whoops, whoops, whoops.
The race for the player of the year is on. It's a fascinating one. You've got Scottie Scheffler on one side and then Xander Schauffele on the other. The segment brought to you by Coghill Golf and Country Club, a pure golf experience. And just when you kind of stack what each guy has done so far this year, Xander's got two wins. However, they are both majors, as saw him win the Open Championship and also the PGA Championship. And really, I mean, kind of did it in different ways. One, he was the attacker, and one, he was the hunted. And the way that he came back on that Sunday at Royal Troon to close out the British Open, and then really just kind of steady dose of just strong golf for him at the PGAs at Valhalla, and he had to stave off an attack at the end, was a different way to win. And it was something that I think both you and I were a little bit squeamish about, to see if Xander could close out a game that way. It was, or close out a match that way. And the way that he has really struggled on Sundays at a lot of these tournaments, and then for him to go out and take it on that Sunday down in Louisville, was, I think, significant to why he was able to have the success that he did for the rest of the year, because I think that really set him up to be the guy that he was out at Royal Troon and at a number of other events this year as well, including the Olympics.
No doubt. The experience specifically at 18 and how Valhalla finished, I think, is going to prove to be Xander Schauffele's best moment, and he will always go back to that moment. Just I think like Jack Nicklaus went back to that moment when he made the putt to beat Arnold Palmer to win his first major. He always says that he goes back to that moment because he knows he was able to do it when he needed to do it, and he now knows he can do it. Xander had the same thing happen. He now knows he belongs. He now knows he has the resume and that he can compete on any given venue, major, and against anybody. There is nobody he can't beat. He didn't believe that until he finished at Louisville at the way that he did at Valhalla. And when he was asked, did that experience have any influence as to what he did and how he did it at the British Open, or the Open as they call it over there, he said, absolutely it did. And it's going to. And that's why I think Xander is going to win more majors. And I said it tongue-in-cheek, but as I think more about it, it would not surprise me if he ends up with more than Rory.
Wow.
How's that?
Just because it's been so long for Rory. So this has been a hot topic across the tour lately, is whose year would you rather have? Would you rather have what Xander has done and win only two events this year, but they're both majors? He also has 17 top 25 finishes in his 18 starts this year. So he has been in the thick of it for every single event pretty much that he's been out there for. Or would you rather have Scotty's, where he has 6 wins, one is the Masters, one is the Players, and the other 4 are all signature events. He's won 4 of the 8 signature events this year.
That's absolutely ridiculous. And what I think the number, as you really start to go down the statistics side by side, okay, they both played, you know, 16, 17 majors. Scheffler actually played, or tournaments, actually Scheffler played one less. But, like you said, 6 wins to 2. Runners up, they're tied, 2-2. Majors, Schauffele, 2 versus 1. But here's the difference. Prize money, $28 million to $15 million.
Well, and not just that, but don't forget that $28 million does not include the $8 million bonus that Scotty got because he finishes first in the Comcast Business Tour.
While sitting at home playing with his newborn and just loving life.
Yeah.
He didn't even lift a club
with a gold medal around his neck as well.
While wearing a green. And I have to say, it's just because of that. I just think to be able to put on a green jacket with a beautiful gold medal around your neck, that to me is the end all be all, because you're now a member at Augusta. Let's start there. And then you've got probably one of the most iconic medals and trophies and awards in all of sport. And you get to put those two together. I just think there's something so cool about that. But it is the wins, and it's the fact that 4 of those 6 wins that Scotty has are signature event wins, to your point. And overall, he's 206 under par this year versus Schauffele is only 186 under par. But statistically, you have to give it to Scotty. And I think the intangible, although we're not supposed to think of it in this terms, the gold medal isn't supposed to enter into anybody's thinking. But let's face it, it does. Mm-hmm. It has to. And for that reason, I know Victor Hovland said he'd rather Xander's season. But
yeah.
I think he's in the minority on that one. And I think that's a little bit of the European claret jug speaking out of a Hovland's mouth there.
So they have pulled a few of these players along the tour asking, all right, whose season would you rather have? Would you rather have Scotty's? Would you rather have Xander's? And like you said, Hovland said the 2 majors, that sounds pretty nice to me. And is going with Xander's season. Now, I wonder how that answer would be different if you asked like a Colin Morikawa, a guy who has majors already, right?
Like, yeah.
You're still walking away with whatever resume you pick. You're walking away with a major, no matter what. And let's also remember, Scotty has the most dominant major win this season. I mean, the amount of strokes he won by at Augusta is greater than the combination of the other 3 majors of the winning margin of victory there. So the dominance that Scotty showed at Augusta, I think that's something that can be looked at as well as a part of what the season has been for both guys. But, and this is interesting to me, Patrick Cantlay was asked about it. And we know Patrick and Xander, buddies, Zurich Classic partners. And he says, Scotty's played unbelievable golf, and with the amount of tournament wins he's had, it's been super impressive. It sounds like Patrick Cantlay, and he kind of left it open, like, oh, like, there's still 3 weeks to be decided for this thing. But even him, he's still kind of siding with Scotty Scheffler, even though it would be very easy to take Xander's side, take your buddy's side in a situation like this. But I think that just shows the level of respect that Scotty has and just the pure and utter dominance and really understanding how difficult it is to win not just a major, but one event on the tour all year. And the fact that he's got 4 wins in elevated events, you've got the Players, and then you've got a green jacket as well, plus an Olympic gold medal. I think it really shows just the magnitude of what Scotty has done in dominating week in and week out. And I think a lot of what Scotty's and what he's done that's so impressive too is the follow-up acts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was the stretch where he was going win, 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 second place, win. He follows up the Masters with a win at RBC Heritage. Like, that's the type of stuff that he's done this year that I think makes him so different, and why I would take what he's done this year over what Xander's done this year.
I absolutely agree with you 100%. As I think more about which golfers might consider taking Xander's record over Scottie's this year, Tiger Woods comes to mind, because that would put him at 17. So I think it's people who need to get to that next level.
Yeah.
So, you know, somebody like, you know, who's sitting at 9, like, you know, Gary Player or Tom Watson may say that, because that gets him to 10 or 11. But a guy like, let's say, Rory McIlroy, he now overtakes Brooks, mm-hmm. you know, by getting Xander's season.
I think Rory might take Scotty's, because there is one in there, and it feels like he just needs one right now.
Yeah.
In the case of Tiger, like you mentioned, if he walked away with two majors in a season, I mean, in Tiger's world, yeah, you get to the 17, but also, based off of the schedule that he plays, you know that you won 50% of the events you played in this
year. That's right. And, yeah, so I don't know, to a guy like Rory and to Tiger, the money doesn't matter. It's just that number of majors. So, otherwise, I think the lion's share of the players would take Scottie's season for sure. It's just between the money and everything else. Although, like, if you know, it'd be amazing if Hideki or somebody were to make a run and win all three, that could change the total money earnings statistic and take and dethroning Scottie from that perspective. But the problem is Scottie's playing well too, so he's going to keep piling more money into that vault. I mean, he's going to go well over $30 million this year, which is
for sure
astounding.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is just it's amazing. In 1 year, he is eclipsing what many of these legends, as I look at all the major championship winners, have done throughout their career, and he's doing it in less than 12 months.
Yep. 312-332-3776. Whose resume would you rather take for the year, and who would have your player of the year vote? Is it Scottie or is it Xander? 312-332-3776. We'll continue to talk about that a little bit more when we come back and take some of your phone calls. This segment brought to you by Coghill Golf and Country Club, a pure golf experience.
This is the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club, ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app. Golf is on your mind and on the air right now. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
This segment brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin. It's the CDGA Golf Show, as we're with you every single, usually on Saturdays. We'll be back Saturday, 9 to 11 a.m. Next week, as the Bears have wrapped up their Saturday preseason outings for the year. So we will be back in our usual time slot, 9 to 11 a.m. Saturday mornings, talking golf with you. But we're with you until 10 a.m. today, a little bit of an extended edition. We'll talk with LIV Golf CMO Adam Harder in about 8 minutes from now, coming up at 8 o'clock, as the LIV Golf Individual Championships are coming to Bolingbrook for September 13th through 15th. So that should be a lot of fun out there, especially there's a lot of buzz going into that. When you talk about all the different storylines, you've got Bryson and the year that he's put together so far. John Rahm's starting to play some really good golf. We saw it at the Olympics. We saw it at the Open. And we're seeing it right now at Greenbrier as well on the LIV Tour. And then you've got, could this be it for Phil Mickelson as well? It's starting to kind of feel that way after he was very candid last week.
Yeah, no doubt. And it kind of an eye-opener. Like, I guess I never really... You know that somebody's career is eventually going to end.
Right.
But I just didn't think we'd be talking about Phil Mickelson in retirement literally in the same breath this quickly after what he did at Kiowa just a couple of years ago. He has had a difficult time, I think, in that, you know, transition over to LIV. He's had some, you know, some moments where he's looked decent, but he hasn't won anything.
Right.
You know, the team is so-so. But he was
He's largely struggled.
Yeah, he's largely struggled, but he was the hood ornament for LIV. He was the name that started the whole thing. And so it's going to be interesting. And we, you know, when we talk to Adam to find out his take on Phil and to see what he thinks is the future. Because right now it looks like he had a decent first, you know, first two rounds. I think he's sitting around 20th or thereabout on the leaderboard. But even for Phil, that's still not Phil-esque like. So Phil is hinting. And you know what's interesting? Phil's hinting that it's really what his bread and butter was is what's letting him down. And it's the short game. It's not the tee to green game that's making him think this decision out. It's the putting and the chipping. And I guess it just goes to show you sometimes father time can be cruel and can take some of these skill sets and or erode them away so very slowly that eventually one day you wake up and go, what the heck happened to my chipping and putting all of a sudden? And I think Phil's experiencing a little bit of that. And my concern for LIV as we start to look and project forward is where is the next crop of talent coming from? Mm-hmm. Because not only with Phil, you've got guys like Ian Poulter and Lee Westwood and a few of these kinds that were very prominent and formidable years ago, but let's face it, they're at the downside on the back nine of their careers. And we're not far from it where we may have another few more bigger names falling by the wayside. What's the plan to infuse new talent that is eye-catching, worth putting our eyeballs on, whether we're going to try to search for it and stream or catch it on the CW or the WGN, you know, that to me is interesting. And especially in light of what Jay Monahan said, you know, he came out with a report this week that said that, you know, things are still in the right direction, you know, things are positive, but it's going to be a while. Like, I think it's going to be a couple of years at least till we get this thing done. And so long story short, the PGA Tour let 2025 schedule go out and there wasn't one breath of LIV or anything associated with it. Jay Monahan said it's very complicated. It's very comprehensive. All these discussions, it's just going to take time. I think a lot more time that any of us, including Jay Monahan and anyone else that was involved in those meetings, had any idea how long it might take. But as a result, and I don't know if this is the PGA Tour just sort of going into a slow play. Let's wait them out. Let's wait for the Phils and everyone to disappear and see what happens. Or are they going to say, well, if you're going to slow play us, LIV, we're just going to go and start doing more poaching.
Yeah.
So I don't know. This whole thing is... Last year on June 6th, I would have told you that we would have had this thing rectified, fixed, and we would have moved on by now. But we're not even close.
Yeah.
And it's mind-boggling.
Well, think about it. At this point, based on what we know, the earliest it seems like you could have some semblance of a merged schedule is 2026.
Yeah.
I think some people thought 2025 was a prime year, and I'm sure some people in the moment when the deal was announced thought 2024's schedule would feature some semblance of merging, and we're far from that point right now.
Very far, and you know, I guess if you're from the LIV perspective and you're now seeing these decisions and schedule releases and press conferences given, I mean, are you trying to lock up venues now for two more years? Like, we already now know, LIV, you're going to have another season without any PGA Tour partnership. So are you coming back to Bolingbrook? Are you coming back to Chicago? And what is the future? Are you going to do more or less in the United States? I have a sneaking suspicion the long-term play for LIV is going to be fewer events in the United States, more worldwide. Mm-hmm. And it's just whether or not Chicago remains to be one of the United States' venues, because otherwise a regular steady diet of professional golf in our community is something we can't count on.
Yep. 312-332-3776. If you want to join us, if you're looking forward to Bolingbrook and what that tournament, the individual championships for LIV, will bring to that community, this segment has been brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club, and the Highlands of Elgin. And we'll talk with the CMO of LIV Golf. Adam Harder joins us in 2 minutes here on the CDGA Golf Show.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.